That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
Week 13 of the 2025 NFL season is in the books and in the rearview mirror, and we are moving on to Week 14 with some bold predictions and a score that may surprise you from last week's Thanksgiving games. Ed Cleese joins us in just a moment to tell us all about it.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Before we get into our episode today, let's take the time to drill that football right into the like and subscribe button on your console so you know exactly when the notifications come up of the latest releases of Pigskin Dispatch podcast for some more great football history. Now on to our episode. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another week of picking some big games in the National Football League. Week 14 is coming up. Ed Cleese has been my partner in crime all season here. We've been making some great picks, making some great analysis. And Ed is here again this week to talk about the past week, week 13, and move into week 14. Ed, welcome back to the Pig Pen.
Hi, Darren. Welcome, or I guess welcome myself. I'll welcome myself to the Pig Pen. Welcome. Did you have to roll yourself out to work this morning after Thanksgiving, or are you all right?
Yeah. It was kind of an up and down weekend. You know, we had a great holiday weekend. I had a birthday weekend for myself, and very depressing in the middle with the way my team played on Sundays. But we don't have to talk about that at all.
Turning 35 is a big milestone.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it is. It is. I'm almost old enough to be president now.
All right, sounds good. Well, okay.
All right. So what were your thoughts on the week that we just got done with, Ed?
So I figured today, what stuck out to me is we'll kind of go back to something I talked about a few weeks ago, and I figure we're going to have plenty of time to talk about all of the really good teams, all of the teams that are in the playoff hunt over the next several weeks. So my thought today kind of went to some of the ones that we'll not be talking about the next month or so. And I told you before, Darren, that my favorite time of the year, I always say, is from Labor Day through the Sunday after Thanksgiving. That's my favorite time of the year. Again, we don't have to rehash it, but a lot of fun things going on. And that Sunday after Thanksgiving always feels like an end of something to me a little bit. And this week it shaped up really well. We had really good games. This was the league itself has been a little, there haven't been that many great weeks at great games. They've been kind of hit and miss. This was one of our first really good weeks. So we had really good games Thursday. The Friday game was pretty compelling. The Sunday games were great. We had a fabulous, we'll talk about it a little bit, fabulous Sunday night game, the first one we've had in a long time. Monday was a dud, but again, we kind of ended it on Sunday anyway. So I remember so as the Sunday night game is going to overtime, I'm like, oh, just keep going. Can we add another game after this just to kind of keep this football holiday going and extend it? Let's keep Monday away, you know? And so it feels like the end of something to me because by my count, Darren, we have 12 teams that we have at one point or another cut, meaning they're not going to be involved in this process moving forward. That's about a third of the league, okay? And there's one or maybe two teams on here that have gotten them wiggled. The Bengals and the Dolphins have maybe wiggled themselves back into the mix just a tad. But for the most part, I think we can stick with 12 teams. And in September and October and most of November, even if your team is bad, I still feel like you're locked into football the season. Even if what you're doing is on Monday complaining to your friends, like in Cleveland, about how terrible they are, you're still sort of looking forward to watching them the next week. And I think we've just flipped now, because now we get to December. This, you know, the Thanksgiving's over, and I think the fans of those 12 teams begin to check out. I think they start talking. I think they start thinking about draft, coaching changes next year. They're no longer really focused on the remaining five games. Now, we've talked about this before. I think the players stay pretty locked in, continue to play hard. They're playing for money. They're playing for jobs. They're playing for all different kinds of reasons. So I think I'm not talking about the players, but it's always a little bit sad to me, or kind of changes, because all of the hope and all of the excitement, I feel like we've lost a third of the football fans in a way. Like, they're in a different place now than they were a month or two ago. And so that kind of stuck out to me a little bit. Like, we've got these teams that are kind of really just officially done now and officially playing out the string. And that's a third of the league. So you get about a third of the fans of the teams that are starting to think draft. They're starting to think free agency. You know, are we going to keep our coach? They're not really locked into what's happening on Sunday. And I kind of prefer it when it's earlier in the year and everybody is focused on the game to game.
Yeah, I think you have a lot of merit to that. I think there's teams that are, like you say, there's at least, you know, their play is checked out. Yeah, like you say, I don't think the players ever really check out because it's too important to their livelihood. But the fans are definitely checking out and, you know, losing interest and maybe starting to watch basketball or, you know, get ready for, you know, baseball season or hockey or something else other than National Football League, because their teams are toast. And I can't say that I blame them, because it's, you know, not a fun thing to watch a plane crash that continues to happen. And I can start to appreciate that a little bit after this past weekend to see some what's going on there. But, you know, one thing that I have to say is, as bad as it feels to be a Steelers fan after watching the Bills just abuse them, is at least I'm not the Giants kicker. You know, so I guess I got that going for me.
I've never seen that before.
That has to be the most embarrassing moment in NFL history. I feel bad for the guy.
Well, what's funny is earlier in that game, you know, they gave up a long kick return to start the game, and then they gave up a 94-yard punt return touchdown, both in the first quarter. And it's almost like their kicker was like, hey, you ain't seen nothing yet with special teams gaffes, because watch this. And, like, I am literally it was weird. I mean, it's like
the coach probably said, hey, go out there and do something to make everybody forget about our special teams woes.
Yeah. I got you. He's like, I got you. That was wow. Yeah, that was something. And
I think I saw the meme of the day this morning was they had that playing at the same time they had a Peanuts with Lucy and Charlie Brown, and Charlie Brown's doing the same exact thing as the kicker. It was hilarious.
It did look like that. That was something, Darren. And along those lines, I think context matters for these 12 teams. I think if you're a Jets fan right now, you're probably not fully checked out, because you have a new coach, the team's playing better now, and you have all these draft picks. You don't necessarily feel like you're just grinding out to get something over with. Whereas, like in Cleveland, I think we know now that Stefanski's gone. There's, you know, we're not watching the quarterback of the future there. It's just ugly, and it's like another let's get this over with season. And
I think they're rooting for Miles Garrett to get the sack.
Sure, that's
one thing to be exciting of.
Their defense is good, and that's something to watch. But of these 12 teams, I kind of thought about half of them can drum up a reason to still kind of care, and then half of them, you know, like the Titans. They're going to have a new coach next year. They're 1-11. You know, it's just, it's get this over with, right? There's no, I can't wait till Sunday. You know, I was just kick me in the groin, you know, again and again and again, you know, so, and I've been there before. My team's kind of in the netherworld right now. They're kind of, it's, I'm certainly not excited about the final five games, but I'm also not in a state of depression. Feels a little bit more like a blip than it does a disaster. So, but of these 12 teams, there's different contexts, so it can fluctuate. But yes, overall, I think we've got about a third of the league that they're like January 9th or whatever it is, can't get here fast enough.
Yeah, I think the NFL officially eliminated, I think it was at least a half dozen teams, many that are on your list, made it official today that they are no longer in playoff contention.
Well, let me rattle them. Some of these teams are still in contention, but my 12, Bengals, Browns, Titans, Saints, Dolphins, Falcons, Jets, Cardinals, Raiders, Vikings, Commanders, Giants. That's the quick list of those 12. Again, Bengals and maybe Dolphins fans can say, hey, take us off that list. We're not done yet. But 4-8 and 5-7 is, you know, teetering at best.
Yeah, who's the most surprising team that's on that list of 12? If you would have gone back in July, August, looking forward to the season, who is the most surprising team?
Easy answer. It's us. It's the Commanders. Okay. I think now a lot of people thought that the Commanders might take a step back. You know, their Vegas over under before the year was 9.5 wins, and some coming off a 12 win season. So some people kind of thought that was a little low and may have been a little bit of a tell. And I do think there was some merit in maybe talking about the Commanders. Let's pump the brakes. You know, maybe this was going to be an 8-10 win season where they kind of don't have some of the same luck they had last year. And I could have bought that before the year, but having them sit at 3-9, I think is the most surprising of all of these teams. Maybe the Vikings being a somewhat close second, and they play each other this week. But as a Commanders fan, I can tell you that I'm not panicked. We've talked about this a few weeks ago. There are some reasons they are where they are, and many of them were just out of their hands, in terms of the injuries, the untimely injuries, the who got hurt, when they got hurt, how long they were hurt, and who they were playing while they were hurt was something that they just weren't going to be able to overcome this year. But yeah, I'd say that they are the most surprising. And I don't really think there's too much of an argument.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe you could argue maybe the Vikings or the Bengals, you know, I don't think people expected them to be where they're at, either one of those teams. That, I mean, though the Vikings, maybe they are fighting for the division title. And we just don't know it yet because they look pretty good Thursday.
You mean the Bengals?
I'm sorry, the Bengals. Who did I say?
The Vikings, yeah.
No, yeah, the Vikings are definitely out of it. But the Bengals, yeah, they might still have a shot at it. You know, who knows? With the,
yeah, that's why, you know, AFC given North, what the Steelers and Ravens have kind of turned into, that's why I was like, well, maybe I need, and you got Burrow back, so maybe we need to cut there. But, you know, if you look at it, they are 4-8. They're one game better than the Commanders. So, you know, it's, yeah. But, yes, of all of the 12 teams, the one fan base that's probably most excited about their game on Sunday is the Bengals.
Yeah, I think so. I think you probably your fan base is too, because I think Jaden's coming back this weekend.
That's the rumor. And yes, I think that's been an argument online whether or not he should come back or they sit him. I think it's ridiculous, the people that are saying he should just sit even if he's healthy. I think it's actually embarrassing and an absurd notion that you would do that. Maybe if he wasn't going to be healthy till week 18, you know, you say, all right, what's the point? But with 30% of the season left and a second-year quarterback, yeah, if he can play, he should absolutely play.
And they still have a shot at having a winning record. You know, they run the table. They're, you know, they're 9-8.
Nope. They're 3-9 right now.
Oh, they're 3. Okay.
They can get to 8-9. Okay. That dream died. The end of the game.
The Vikings and the Bengals are the ones with the four wins.
Right. Okay. Yes. Okay. And but for me, it's not even necessarily about you know, it's kind of, you know, the word culture, you know, it's probably a little bit overused, overblown. The whole momentum from one year to the next is probably a little bit overstated. But given where the Commanders are as an organization, I do think there's merit and value in finishing strong. They don't need, I mean, a top five pick is great. It's always better to be higher than lower, but they don't necessarily need one guy right now like they did 2 years ago. So whether they pick sixth or 11th, it shouldn't be something that matters that much. And I think there's more value in them playing like they played the other night and finishing strong, especially Jaden maybe showing everybody, hey, don't forget about me. You know, I did set this league on fire last year. I'm going to be fine. And kind of ending the season with everybody thinking, you know what? Commanders had a horrible, disastrous mid-season swoon, but overall they're okay.
All right. Okay, so I guess as long as we're talking about last week, why don't we give our results of how we did in our bold predictions last week?
Sure. So we'll start. I think I started with you last week, so we'll start with me. First of all, we'll do our bonus picks. You know, last week we each picked the MVP of each Thanksgiving Day game. And I got off to a great start because I nailed it with Jordan Love.
Did you ever? Wow.
And then I came close with the second one. I said the receivers and it wound up being Dak. But so I didn't get that one. And then I was way off. I had Derrick Henry as the MVP of the night game. You got that one right. You had Joe Burrow. He had a great game. He got to eat the turkey leg. So we each got one bonus point for last week. As far as my my other picks, I had a strong start. I had the Packers beating the Lions in Detroit. That was a good game. That was a close game. However, I felt like Green Bay controlled the game. I never felt that Detroit was going to win. They could have, but I felt like watching that game, I felt a little bit like week one when they played. And meaning I'm watching this game and it looks to me like Green Bay is better than Detroit.
Yeah, I agree with you. It seemed like they had the game, you know, it felt like they had in control, even though the score didn't tell that. But you had the feeling the whole way through that Green Bay is going to win this game. It wasn't, you know, ever in question the other way saying, oh, I think Detroit's going to win this game. But like you said, they had their opportunities. They could have. With a break here or there, just did not come to fruition.
Yeah, and it's starting to look now like the problems in not that they have problems, but that they're just not as good. This is a lesser team than the Lions of the last 2 years. They're just not as good, and there could be a number of reasons for it. Offensive line isn't quite as dominant. The changing coordinators. You know, their personnel is not that different, but, you know, they're just not as good. That happens sometimes.
Yeah. How about that? Ragnar comes back for that game and goes out for the season. You know, I mean, you know, it's just terrible. St. Brown goes down earlier in that game. You know, the whole earlier part of their season, they had no starting secondary. You know, it was bad. You know, they just had some bum luck like other teams have, like, you know, the Ravens and the Commanders. And you know, Kansas City in the beginning of the year, but they've really had some bad luck.
Unless you have that elite top 3, 4, 5 quarterback, you better take advantage of your window when it opens. And 2 years in a row, the Lions had the 49ers beaten 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game. That game was there. It was over. I mean, it was right on the edge of being put away. And they couldn't put it away. And they lost the NFC Championship game. And then last year, they're the number one seed. They got home field advantage for the first time ever, basically, you know, throughout the NFC playoffs. Unfortunately, they got some guys missing on defense in their playoff game against the Commanders. They get scorched by Daniels. And they lose, you know, 2 years in a row. And, you know, that Goff is fine. He's a good quarterback. But he's not that elite, you know, Hall of Fame, gold jacket kind of guy that's going to get you there every single year, no matter what. And so I wonder, you know, that window opens and it closes really fast sometimes. And I don't think if you're a Lions fan, you need to be thinking, oh, our window's closed, we're done. But you do start to wonder, were those two seasons our best shot?
Yeah, that's true. But I think – they have a clear path to the way they're going to be picking in the draft. You know, they got to beef up the trenches, I think, a little bit, especially on the offensive side, and maybe get some secondary help, and you know, maybe pick up a receiver or two, and they'll be right back in the mix.
Yep. So I did get my 2 points for that game. I'm going to get zero for my Black Friday pick. I had the Eagles not necessarily beating the Bears easily, but holding them to 17 or fewer and finding a way to win. The Eagles defense was fine on Friday. It wasn't great. They did fine, but their offense is a calamity right now. They're horrible. And you know, it did kind of warm my heart to see the Philly fans booing the Super Bowl champs off the field, which is great, to see them suffering a little bit. So I got zero on that. And that was, I got zero for that one. I got one going, staying in the state. I waffled on how to grade myself on this one. I said that Josh Allen would lead the Bills to a win in Pittsburgh on a late score. Well, he led them in the second half to a win. They certainly didn't need to score late. It was pretty easy. So I wasn't exactly sure what to do, but I gave myself one for getting the game kind of right. And we can talk more about that in a minute. So I got one there. I'm going to get two for my Jets over Falcons pick. And I said, no analysis needed, Jets over Falcons. And so I'm just going to say, no analysis needed, Jets over Falcons. I get 2 points. Yeah. And then my last one, I decided to be consistent. And I had the Commanders winning over the Broncos, which would have been, I think, just about one of the bigger upsets that either of us has predicted all year. And I didn't attach anything to it, though. All I said was the Commanders would beat the Broncos, so I don't get any points because they didn't. Because, you know, I should have said, and it'll be a close game or whatever. But that didn't happen. And what's funny on that, Darren, is I don't know if you remember earlier this year, I had the Raiders upsetting the Jags. And that game went to overtime, and the Raiders went for two for the win. The guy was open, and the ball was batted down at the line. And then the same thing happened on Sunday night.
Deja vu.
So I got zero. That gives me a total, though, of six for the week. So pretty strong week, and gets me 60, an even 60 for the season.
Yeah, great week.
Let's see how it comps to you. Well, you also are going to get zero for the Eagles game that we talked about. Mm. You're also going to get zero for your team because you had the Steelers kind of beating the Bills. And that, yikes, that was not look like Steelers football in December in Pittsburgh.
Wasn't looking too bad at halftime, but yeah, it got a little bit worse.
Yeah, it got worse, and that's it's kind of funny. They're 6-6. They're tied for the division lead, and they play the division leader, but it almost feels like they're out of it to me. They're not. They're clearly not. I mean, they're one win away from leading the division again. So it's not necessarily a huge deal, but just kind of watching the team and the body language and Tomlin and the fans, it just sort of seems like everybody's, and you'll can speak to this more than I can. Everybody seems tired. They seem tired of each other.
I thought that until what happened today. I don't know if you've heard any news from Pittsburgh today, but Tomlin had probably the most spirited media conversation because he comes on every Tuesday, and he took it from both barrels. He said, you know, basically, I don't blame them for saying fire Tomlin. I'd be up there saying that too. I deserve, you know, that. It was poor coaching. We were out coached. We were outplayed. You know, the team wasn't ready, and that falls on me. I'm the head coach. You know, he's always stand up, but he was more impassioned than I've seen him, and he wasn't cocky and arrogant about it like he is many times. He ate a little bit of humble pie, and their moves today on the roster wire sort of showed that. They picked up Adam Thielen from off waivers. They cut Darius Slay, Super Bowl winner from last year, cornerback. They cut him, moved Asante Samuel Jr. onto the 53. And I don't know if those changes are enough with a a 35-year-old receiver that was just cut, and a guy that hasn't played football in a year. But hey, it's something, and not much more you can do to try to motivate the team. But it's Ravens week, and divisional weeks are always big in the AFC North, and this rivalry is one of the biggest ones in football. So hopefully there'll be some spark for the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, it should be. It's a no excuse game for sure. You know, if they're not ready on Sunday, they just won't be. But yeah, zero for you on that one. You're also going to get a zero on the Chiefs taking out the Cowboys. I should have had that in my list. I told you I would have been opposite, but I didn't add it. I liked Dallas going in. Kansas City, it's just they're not done. They're not finished yet. But they also, it's not just the flip the switch thing. It's not. They're just struggling on offense to a certain level. They don't look super explosive. They're not the same.
Yeah, that's true. There's something a little bit missing there. And I was more shocked, I think, by their defense. You know, we know Dallas can score, and Dallas has, studs all over the place on offense. But I thought Kansas City would have a counter to that a little bit better than they did, and maybe able to, keep the score down a little bit and outscore the Cowboys. But that definitely did not happen.
Nope. And I'm going to give you – I was pretty nice, and I gave you one for your Ravens pick. Not pretty nice. I'm sorry. I only gave you one for your – you had the Bengals beating the Ravens, but you also said that Henry and Flowers would have big nights. And they did not at all. So they were like a zero, but then you nailed the other side of it. So next time, Darren, just be less bold.
I guess so.
Just make the easy choice. So I did give you one for that. You probably should have gotten two, but I gave you one for that. And then you're going to get your full two for your Texans over Colts. That was a super fun and compelling game. I thought that I probably enjoyed that one in a week of good, of fun games. That was right up there. That was a really fun game to watch. I enjoyed it. Texans, that's a huge win for them. And that was a good one. But you're going to get your two for that. That gives you, let's see, that gave you four for the week, which gets you to 60 for the year. So we are deadlocked with
dead
5
heat.
Weeks to go.
Wow, there goes my lead. It's evaporated.
Yep.
Just like that.
50 possible points remain.
Oh, all right. Great.
There you go.
There's a phenomenon that I think that maybe we haven't talked about. Maybe this is the time to. How many NFL quarterbacks can have broken wrists in a 2-week period? I mean, I think that's. I mean, you have Rodgers, you have Daniel Jones, and now Herbert just had surgery on his left wrist, and I think it's all their non-throwing hands.
Wasn't Daniel Jones his leg?
Was it his leg? Okay,
I think it's his fibula. Yeah, I think which seems worse. You know, if you've got a quarterback out there with a broken leg,
just brutal. All the broken bones, but all happening in that last 2 weeks is kind of a
what
a
bones
thing.
Did Max Brosmer have broken last week? Both arms, both legs. Like, what was that about?
Yeah, I don't know. It's more like he was like a Evel Knievel accident there,
Poor guy. That
like
was
every rough. Bone in his body. Oh,
that was bad.
Yeah.
That was ugly. That was ugly.
Yeah. All right. So I guess that takes us on to the future and our picks for the week 14 in the National Football League. And I believe it is your turn this week to start?
Yeah, we'll start with me.
Okay.
Sure. We'll start with me.
All right.
I kept all of my picks to Sunday games. So, and just like last week, I'm going to ride this train again. Another no analysis necessary, Jets over Dolphins.
Okay. I also picked on that game, and I did the same thing. I have the Jets squashing the Dolphins in New York's biggest win of the season by points. So.
Jets over. So we're on the same wavelength there. It's funny, the Dolphins have certainly turned the season around and they look much better, but they've kind of been getting by the skin of their teeth in some of these games, and I kind of think that the bottom's gonna fall out and they'll just kind of reveal who they are, and this little glimmer that the Dolphins may be giving their fans is gonna get shut in New York.
And it's only supposed to be like in the 20s this weekend in New York City.
We know how the Dolphins handle that.
Fish freeze in the water.
Oh, there you go. So I'm going to stay in state with my next pick. The Bills. Now, this is a pretty fun game. Burrow going to Buffalo. The Bills. So the Bengals defense is terrible. They were not terrible on Thursday night, which leads me to believe that they are due to be terrible again. And so I am taking Josh Allen and the Bills to score 31 or more points in a win over the Bengals. Now, maybe the Bengals keep it close still, but I'm saying Bills win and they're going to score 31 or more.
All right. Well, this puts us into our first head-to-head of the week where we disagree on picking the same game, because I think the Bengals offense or defense is terrible. I will agree with you on that. But I don't think the Bills are they're not able to string together consecutive weeks of being consistent. And I think that their defense is somewhat in question in a passing game, even though they didn't show it against Pittsburgh. But I think Joe Burrow is going to expose them, and it's going to be one of those wild shootout games that the Bengals get into almost every week. That sometimes they lose, but this is going to be both teams scoring in the 30s. I don't disagree with you, the Bills putting up 31, but it's going to be like a 35-31 or 38-35, Bengals on top.
Bengals win a shootout. Okay, yeah, head-to-head on that one. All right, I'm going to talk about no analysis necessary. I even debated whether to pick this game because it's almost like, Ed, there's so much better football to talk about. But I'm taking the Titans over the Browns. And this is in Cleveland. And, you know, we talk about sometimes we talk about Vegas a little bit. I talk about spreads. The Browns are 3.5-point favorites in this game. And my friend Joe, who I've mentioned here many times, the Browns fan, he sent me a text that just said, he calls them the clowns this time of the year, by the way. And he said, the clowns are laying 3.5 this week. What have we done to be favored in any football game ever, you know, this year? And it's a very valid point. And I saw that as of right now, the Browns are the top pick of the public on the board on the gambling scene. So I'm thinking, wait. The public is loaded up spending their money on the Browns. Let's go the other way. That's all my analysis. This isn't necessarily a football analysis. It's just a, you know what? I feel like this could be the sinking. This is where the Browns go even lower. You know, they're going to lose at home to the Titans, and that Browns narrative is going to continue.
Well, I did not pick on that game, but I think I would go the opposite way. I think I'd go with the chalk because, again, weather is going to be a factor. I live on the shores of Lake Erie. Cleveland's not that far from me. They have the same weather that we do, and they have a very good defense. The Titans have a pitiful offense. I don't know how the Titans would manage to outscore them, even in a 1-0 game, if it was possible. I don't think that they could do it unless Cleveland forfeits or something. That's the only way I could see it. And not that Cleveland's going to be lighting them up either, with a rookie quarterback and not much of a running game. And, you know, just their offense is kind of terrible too. But I think that the Browns defense will find ways to score or put the offense into no-brainer scores of kicking field goals somehow with some turnovers. But again, I did not pick on this game, but I think I would disagree with you on that one.
All right.
All right. Well, I did go outside of Sunday, and I picked on the Thursday night game, the Lions and the Cowboys. I find this one really intriguing. And I think this is going to be another shootout. You're going to have these two high-powered offenses going against each other with defenses that are sort of hit or miss on both sides. And I think that the Lions are going to lose this one in a shootout as Dak tosses 4 touchdowns to lead the Cowboys to another victory here in this little streak that they got going.
You know, it's funny that it's a borderline playoff game. It gets difficult for the loser, and the winner is in decent shape, especially Dallas, because they're actually in a little worse shape. So Dallas really needs it. It becomes really hard for Dallas if they lose this game. But it's a borderline loser goes home game. And it's a really fun game. I actually have a slight lean to the opposite on both things you said, meaning I don't have an official pick on this game, but I'm thinking the Lions are going to find a way to win it. And I think it's going to be lower scoring than people think. And I think sometimes that happens in the desperation games. I think it's a short week. I guess it's not a short week for those two teams because they both played Thursday. So it's a full week for them. But the Thursday night games are generally kind of weird. I think that teams get a little tight. They get a little desperate. They play maybe a little more conservatively in these big games. So I think the score stays down a little bit, and I would lean Detroit, but I don't really like it enough either way to attach my name to it.
Yeah, I think I don't think the Lions have anybody that can cover those receivers or the tight end. And so Hutch will have to be, getting back on Dak in like 2 seconds for them to have any shot at slowing the Cowboys down. So I don't see that. That's why I think it's going to be a shootout. The only thing that might set back, it would be the Lions because, is St. Brown playing? What's going to happen there? I don't know. But
right. And sometimes they alter the game plan on that to purposely try to slow or shorten the game a little bit, which I could see them doing.
Yeah, they could. They could. They have good running backs, the Lions, too. Right. So maybe they will do the running game. But
all right. Okay. So my fourth pick, I don't always love doing the bounce back pick, but in this case, I really like it. I think the Rams are going to smoke the Cardinals on Sunday. I've kind of leaned toward the Cardinals the last couple of weeks. I think this is going to be the week where they don't really put up much of a fight. The Rams are going to go in there. They're going to blow them out by 10 or more. So they're going to have a double-digit win in Arizona. And beyond the double-digit win, it will not be a game that's, three with 3 minutes left to go, and then they score a touchdown to make it 10 at the end. It'll be an easy, breezy win, bounce back off of their loss, pretty surprising loss in Carolina.
I did not pick on this game at all, but I don't think I disagree with you. I think the Rams they're a much better team than the Cardinals are. I think the Cardinals, they know they're out of playoff contention. They're one of the ones that were mentioned earlier. And I think maybe they might be cashing it in, and the Rams are going to be cashing out with a big victory.
That's how I see it.
Yeah. Well, I went to a big game in the NFC North this weekend. I think this is a Sunday night game. It's the Packers and the Bears. And I think
no, it's not Sunday night. It's the 425.
425. Okay. So it's a feature game of the Sunday.
Correct.
So I think that, you made a statement last week believing in the Packers. I was a little bit not believing in them, but I think this week the Bears streak is going to stop. I think the Bears are having a great season. They're a great story. But I think the Packers are going to stop the Bears streak. Parson is going to have a 3-sack game, and that's going to be one of the differences in this game. It's going to put the Pack over the top.
Okay. Well, we're pretty much aligned. We'll have a slight difference here. Again, if you're a Bears fan out there, music to your ears, because I'm picking against your team again. If the track record holds, then you're going to win. But I've got the Packers winning. I just said by 10 or more. So I think they're going to maybe not a complete like embarrassing blowout, but a game they control, a double figure win that's not necessarily in doubt in the fourth quarter. And so I've got the Packers by 10 or more. I think they take control of the division and they wind up winning this division. And I wouldn't be shocked if this starts a little bit of a slide for the Bears. They play the Lions still in Detroit. They have to play the Packers again. They go to San Francisco, I believe. And then I think their other one is the Browns in Chicago, which is a game they certainly should win. But that would only get them, if they won that one, that gets them to their 10th win. That may not be enough in the NFC. So I don't, as good as the Bears look right now, and certainly the odds are in their favor to make the playoffs, I don't think they're a lock yet.
Okay, yeah. I think we both have the Pack in that, just a little bit different.
Slightly different way.
Could be a 1-point swing either way.
Could be.
It could be. All right. Well, my final pick, I am going to the Monday night game. And this is the Chiefs and the Texans. And I think this is going to be another game. You know, seems like the Chiefs are in these in Houston the last 4 or 5 weeks. They're in these big marquee games that are, you know, rock 'em, sock 'em, and you don't know who's going to win them. Well, I'm going to think I've been riding that train and I've been wrong, and they'll probably be proven wrong again. But I think the Chiefs are they're going to figure it out. The switch, you said the switch won't be flicked by them. I think they're too good. They're too talented. Their coaching staff, both Andy Reid, the defensive coordinator, are too good to let this happen again. They're going to beat Houston. Houston's little winning streak is going to come to an end here, but it's going to be a 7-point KC victory.
Got it. First of all, I don't want you to be disappointed. That's Sunday night, not Monday night.
Oh my gosh. Well, I have my,
I don't want you to tune in and miss it. So yeah, that's the Sunday night. The Eagles and Chargers are Monday.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the Sunday night game. I disagree. It's obviously I didn't pick it. I don't quite have the stones to go against the Chiefs for a lot of the same reasons that you pick them. I that's sort of my gut or my instinct as well. But I look at that Texans defense and I look at the Chiefs offense and I'm like, you know what? Texans are probably going to give them hell. I don't think they can just figure it out. I think it's going to be a really, really tough night for the Chiefs offense. I do think the Chiefs defense is good enough to hang in there and maybe get a win. If you put a gun to my head, I would probably pick the Chiefs to win it by 2 or 3 and just kind of find a way, similar to the way they beat the Colts. You know, 2 weeks ago, that's sort of kind of how I think the game goes, but I think it's nip and tuck. I think the Texans are better than the Colts. That defense is nasty. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Texans win. And if they do, at that point next week, we're talking about Chiefs not making the playoffs.
Yeah. Definitely reality. You could have a few of these marquee teams, you know, Detroit, like we talked about, the Chiefs, among others, that you know, heavy favorites going into the season, maybe really being on the outside of the bubble of the playoffs. They're out now on the outside now, but maybe gets into dire straits here as we go on. So interesting weeks coming up.
As a fan of one of those 12 teams that we started the pod with, I'm in come join us mode. I'm in, you know, I'm in vindictive. Angry. I need more people on our side. You can suffer with us. So I want to collect more of these teams, the better. The more of your seasons that can end, the better. So all bring right. it on.
Ed Misery inviting company.
Yes, I do. yes. Yes. Unfortunately, it's a fairly familiar practice, but brighter days ahead, hopefully.
Hopefully my team won't be joining you. Hopefully I have a happier week this week. But,
better win this week.
So, this is a big one. This is a big one. Yep. A lot of big games this week. And
for sure.
A lot of rivalries, a lot of, you know, good teams on the rise against, you know, and like you said, that Jets and Dolphins one, two really bad teams, but they're both playing well the last few weeks. So this is kind of an interesting shakeup on that one too. So a lot of good football this weekend to watch. And, you know, the college season going into its championship games this weekend. And, you know, we just have a lot of fun going on this weekend again.
Darren, can I end the pod with like a 1 or 2 minute story?
Sure.
Today's the anniversary of something very important. It is the 35th anniversary of the first day that I ever watched a football game at a sports bar. So I was in seventh.
Wait a second. When you're like write a diary or something? How do you know this?
So hear me out. I was in seventh grade as growing up a Redskins fan in Oklahoma, right? And one thing that frustrated me was not every game was on the Redskin game. They were on a lot, but they weren't on all the time because, you know, you got whatever your local games were, right? So that frustrated me. And we had a substitute teacher in my social studies class in seventh grade around Thanksgiving 1990. And I was talking to him and he liked football and he had actually tried out for the Broncos. He was very young. He may not have even been 21. I don't know. And he told me, he's like, we were talking about it and I brought that up and he said, hey man, there's this place off of Skelly Drive called Outback Sports Cafe. and they have all the games on satellites. And I was like, satellites? What are satellites? And he tells me, well, basically you sit down at a table, each table has its own TV, and you can turn on whatever game you want. And I was like, it was an epiphany. I wanted to leave school immediately so I could go home and tell my mom and dad about this. Okay. And so I finally got home. I was like, mom, satellites, Outback Sports Cafe, Skelly Drive. I'm like, she's like, what are you talking about? So I composed myself and let her know what this place is. I think she's thinking it's a bar, and I'm not taking my 13-year-old to a bar, but I think she looks it up for me. It's more of a restaurant. We can go. Anyway, she agrees to take me that week. The Redskins play the Dolphins on December 2nd, 1990. And that was a life-changing moment for me, because really, since that day, I've almost basically never missed a game, because for about the next 10 years, you know, I did sports bars, and then Sunday Ticket became a thing around the turn of the century when I got it for the first year, I believe in 99. But for about a decade there, and I had to be very creative with it over the years, being underage and figuring out where to go and who had the games. But out there somewhere is that seventh grade substitute teacher who changed my life 35 years ago today.
Well, at least you learned something in school. That's, we'll take it there.
That sounds like my dad.
Your parents could be so proud now.
Very, very proud, yes.
All right, Ed. Well, I think that is another good way to wrap it up here for our week going into week 14. Great week 13 for you. Hopefully a better week for me, week 14, that we got this duking it out with this tie going on here. And somebody's going to win this in the end, but we only have 5 weeks left. So looking forward to this weekend and the games, and talking to you again next week.
We'll see you next week, Darren. Have a great one.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Are you passionate about soccer's past, present, and future? Discover the game like never before with the GP Soccer Podcast, now proudly part of the Sports History Network. Join renowned coach and educator Giovanni Pacini as he brings over 40 years of expertise to every episode. From player and coach development to global soccer news, insightful interviews, and lively segments like Conversation with the Coach, as well as soccer news and analysis, this show is your gateway to the stories and personalities shaping the beautiful game. Whether you're a lifelong fan, a coach, or just soccer curious, tune in for expert perspectives, inspiring guests, and a community that spans the globe. The GP Soccer Podcast is consistently ranked among the top soccer podcasts and is now part of the Sports History Network, the headquarters for sports yesteryear. So don't miss out. Subscribe to the GP Soccer Podcast wherever you listen, and visit gpsoccerpodcast.com for more information. Be a part of soccer's rich history, one episode at a time.